rarely think of overeating, gluttony, as being one of the seven deadly sins. But it is. People are eating themselves to death. I know, I used to be one of them. Gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins, and you know, it's still deadly today. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to A Different Perspective, as I'm joined once more by my special guest, Keith Henry. And listen, stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about our free daily devotional, Fresh, to help you live in the victory that Jesus died and rose again to give you. There's a certain brand of chocolate biscuits that you can buy in Australia where I live. They're called Tim Tams. Now, it's two biscuit wafers with a chocolate layer in between, and the whole thing's wrapped in a casing of chocolate. And if I were to point to any food that I have an addiction to, Tim Tams would be it. Just as I talk about them, I can picture them, smell them, and feel the taste as they crunch around in my mouth. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with the odd Tim Tam, or any other food for that matter. In fact, without food, we die of starvation. And one of the amazing things that God's done is that he's given us such an amazing variety of food. Cereals, meats, vegetables, herbs, spices, and an endless array. I mean, incredible. One of the things I love to do is to try and cook a nice meal for my family on weekends and to be creative. I love Thai food and Hungarian goulash. Fabulous. But, and there is a but, in Western society today, we're eating ourselves to death. Obesity is rocketing. And whilst people are living longer on the whole, heart disease, diabetes, stroke, they're all on the increase. Gluttony is not a word we'd like to use. It's so old-fashioned, it seems. So judgmental. But gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins. And whether we like it today or not, even in modern society, it's still deadly. Well, Keith, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bernie.
We're talking about gluttony today. Tell us about gluttony. What's gluttony all about? Why do we overeat? What's motivating us to do that?
We want more and more and more, basically. And gluttony is basically about seeking what's pleasurable for you.
Okay.
You become a pleasure seeker so that you want more pleasure and less responsibility.
Well, that fits pretty well with the sort of thinking of our times, doesn't it? You watch the ads on TV and it's all about you, isn't it?
It is, that's right. What you can get, what you can have. These are the consumers that use gluttony. They want to consume and use everything that they can.
Okay, so are you saying it's more than just food?
Yes, it is. If we look at the encourager, their seven deadly sin, the one they major in, is gluttony, because they want to consume as much as they can. They want to have as many ideas as they can. They want to keep moving. They don't want to stop moving because they have to think about what they're doing.
Hang on, let me just stop and think about that for a moment. The encourager. Tell me a bit about the encourager, because encouragers sound good.
Well, they are. They're the happy people, the entertainers. Mm-hmm. The people at school, when you went to school, they were always the stars. They could do anything. They never had to try. They're just good at school, good at sport, friends with everyone. Mm-hmm. The trouble is, because they don't have to work hard at things, they're usually quite talented people.
Okay.
They want to now enjoy life. They're the Peter Pans of this world, never grow up.
Ah, okay. So it's kind of, isn't it funny how the personality type has this particular virtue? I mean, when you say to someone, do you like encouragers? Our answer is absolutely we do. I mean,
yes.
Who doesn't like to be around an encourager?
That's right.
If I was going to be shipwrecked on a desert island, I think I'd pick an encourager instead of a leader to be around, because they're nice to be around. And yet somehow, I just want you to help me make this linkage here between the encourager and this sin of gluttony. Why is it, again, that there's this particular linkage? Why is the encourager so prone to this overconsumption, if we can call it that?
Mm. They're seeking pleasure all the time. They want to taste life. They want to taste everything that's pleasurable. Unlike a leader mm-hmm. who wants to challenge life, they don't want the challenge. They want the excitement, the taste, and they want to keep moving.
All right, so the encourager wants all the pleasure. What's the downside of gluttony? What are the consequences of gluttony? I mean, I guess if we overeat, that's obvious.
Yes. The problem is that they never commit to doing anything or to finishing everything. They want to, you know, eat as you said, you know, consume things, or they come up with a million ideas and they keep running from one idea to the other. They never finish one. And because there's no responsibility there, they can just keep moving all the time and leave somebody else to clean up the mess. In marriages, if you have an encourager, they can commit, by the way. They're not always like this, but this is the sin of gluttony. In some marriages, you'll have an encourager. They never have a regular job. They don't want to commit to something because it ties them down.
Okay, that's the downside. How do they get out of that? Because there's a good side to being an encourager, and I think this would be a horrible world without encouragers, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would. Everybody, as you said, wants to be around encourager. Oh. They're positive people. They're excitement. As soon as they walk in the room, they're the ones that will make it fun. Right? They're the fun people.
So how do they – is there some virtue? Is there some way that they can channel their energies and their passions and their desires, which kind of works against this sin, which minimises its effect and impact?
The virtue for them, as mentioned in 2 Peter 1, is temperance. Temperance is moderation. So they have to focus more. Their problem is they're not focusing. That instead of running to the next thing, they actually have to stop where they are and finish it.
Okay.
So moderation or temperance.
That must be hard for them to do, though. That wouldn't be a natural thing for them to do, the encourager. If the encourager is the entertainer who runs on to the next idea, stopping and finishing would have to be something they learn.
Yes, they would have to learn it. In the Bible, it does say that we can overcome the lusts in the world by actually walking in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do it naturally very well at all. We know what the answer is. We have to go moderation. We have to focus more. But it's very hard for us to do and to overcome any of these seven deadly sins. The only way to do it is to walk in the Spirit.
What does that mean in practice? Give me a practical example. I'm an encourager. I work in a job. I have to finish off things before I can move on to the next. It's driving everyone crazy that I'm not doing that. I kind of know that I've got to do it, but I just can't bring myself to get stuck in the detail. Is that what you're saying? And finish it off. What do I do now? That's my problem. What do I do now?
Well, it's hard to do it. You have to train yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's discipline. They don't have discipline in their lives.
Mm.
They have to start putting discipline in their lives.
Okay. It's not my particular gifting, and so it's not my particular area of weakness. I'm someone who really likes to finish something off well. Mm. In fact, my school motto, which I've taken on as my life motto, was Arge Quod Argus, whatever you do, do well.
Yes.
Right. But and so I can't relate to this one.
Well, there is one way here. What they have to do, they're passionate people.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having 100 things they could do, find one thing that they can be really passionate about.
Okay.
Focus on that one thing, and then they will be fulfilled, they will complete it.
That is good advice, isn't it? That is really good advice. So if you happen to be an encourager out there and this is something you're struggling with, I think that was a fantastic bit of advice. Well, Keith, thank you for that. Join me again tomorrow and we're going to look at the next deadly sin on the list. And that sin is greed.
Sharing the gospel with as many people as possible so they can experience a real and tangible relationship with Jesus. So before we go, I'd like to tell you about a free daily devotional to help you and your friends draw even closer to Him. It's called Fresh. Each day you'll receive a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope and encouragement. And the best news is that it's completely free, delivered right to your inbox each and every day, where you can choose to read, listen or watch the daily video. Completely up to you. It's God's Word fresh for you each day. To receive your free e-devotional, just jump onto the website freshdevotional.org. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign-up waiting right there for you. And as a bonus, I'll also send you a free copy of my e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? So head across to that website and sign up to receive Fresh. I pray that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. That web address, in case you missed it, is freshdevotional.org. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.